All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's show. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tammuz, Naftali Tilson of Talmud Israel. Meretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos this month in commemoration of the yard site of his parents, Rabbi Yonah ben Avraham Leib and Rivka Bas Yaakov. Also in the merit, in Meretz Hashem of the entire Daf Yomi Chavra, Meretz Hashem being Zocha to finish Shas Bisha Toho Umitzlachos. We hope that the Neshamas have an Aliyah, the family in Nechama, and indeed we are all Zocha, Meretz Hashem, to continue to swim through the Yam Shal Talmud together. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Tova Nes Aver, in the schus of the entire Shir, in Meretz Hashem, continuing to grow and to learn together for many years to come. But let's see, with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Mem Hei 45. We are picking up on Mem, I have a lot to do today. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Mem Dalam Adays 44b, and we are picking up 21 lines up from the bottom. So, Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following Shiloh. Ben Bavel, Shenosa Isha Be'eretz Yisrael. So very interesting case. What happens if a man from Bavel, call him Reuven, Reuven's from Bavel, Reuven marries a woman from Eretz Yisrael, and what happens? As part of the property that she brings into the marriage, she brings in Avodim, an Eved Kenani. So I'll say, what's the halacha? V'dayto lachzar, and his intention is after they get married, Eretz Hashem is going to resettle in Bavel. So I'll say, mau. What's the shaila? So we'll see here what's going on over here. See, now I remember again, when a woman brings property into a marriage, so she retains the title over the property, but husband gets usage, gets peros. So the shaila is now Rachel from Eretz Yisrael married Reuven from Bavel, and their intention is to go live in Bavel. So the shaila just is, does this now become a case where Rachel has effectively sold her Eved Kenani to Chutz La'aretz? And as we saw in yesterday's daf, what's the halacha? When you sell your Eved Kenani to Chutz La'aretz, what's the halacha? Yotze L'cheirus. So that's the shayla. Great question, right? Great question. So, Tibay L'man D'amar Adinimo. Tibay L'man D'amar Adinimo. So we'll say, so now this is a shayla. Rashi calls the Lam Sechus Yevamos. So we actually spoke about this when we did Yevamos. It's a very interesting case. When a woman brings in property, I will say, remember again, there are two different types of property. There's what's called Nechsei Tzon Barzal, Nechsei Malog. Focusing for a moment on Nechsei Tzon Barzal. Nechsei Tzon Barzal means it's property that the woman brings into the marriage. At the time of the marriage, there is a valuation, and the husband guarantees that value upon death or divorce. So even if something happens to the property, property is used up, property is destroyed, husband has committed upon death or divorce to paying the value of that property. So here's the shaila. Let's say Reuven and Rachel get divorced. They get divorced. Now what happens? The property is extant. It's there. So Rachel says, give me back my property. Husband says, no, I'm not giving back the property. I'll give you the value. I want to keep the property, but I'll give you full the top dollar. So we'll say there's a machlokis in halacha as to who is correct in that situation. So the Gemara says, this is a shayla, according to the opinion who says, hadin imo, that the halacha sides with him, meaning that he could keep the property and pay the value. And this is a shayla, even according to the opinion who says, hadin imo, that she could demand the property back. The shayla of both. So watch this. So the Gemara says, so kevan da din imo, on one hand we could say, if the halacha follows her, or is meaning what I was going to say, the halacha follows her, namely, that she has the right to demand back her property. So kidida damu, therefore, the slave is considered to be like hers, right? And therefore, halacha lamaisa, because we're both saying, since she retains full title, upon death or divorce, she gets that slave back. Therefore what? It's not considered as if she sold the slave to Chutz La'aretz, because she retains ownership over it. Odama, given the mishadli the peira, kidida damu. On the other hand, maybe, since halacha lamaisa, the husband gets full usage of it, he's considered to be the owner. V'tibay l'man d'amar, hadinimo. The question is, according to the opinion who says that the halacha follows him, namely, that upon death or divorce, he could say, I'm keeping the property, but I'll pay you top dollar. Kivan dahadin imo kidide damu. Since we say that halacha lamaisa, he could keep the property, maybe the eved is considered to be like his, right? And therefore, halacha lamaisa is considered as if it was sold to Chutz La'aretz. O duma, kivan dolkanele gufei kidide damu. On the other hand, he doesn't really own title to it, right? The guf belongs to the woman, to which the Gemara says, teku. You know what? You're right. Not sure what to do with this one. Suppose it's just a fascinating case. So again, Rachel from Eretz Yisrael marrying Reuven from Bavel. She's bringing in Eved Kenani into the marriage. So is this considered to be halacha l'maisa, like a case of selling your Eved to Chutz La'aretz? It's really dependent, fascinatingly enough, on another machlokes, which is how do you view or who has ultimate rights in Nichsei Tzon Barzel upon death or divorce? Does he have the right to hold on to the asset, pay the money? Or could she say, I demand the asset back? Because that's a machlokes, and that influences ultimately, again, how we view their respective relationships to the Eved. Therefore, the Gemara ends off with a teiku. Fascinating, fascinating. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, it happens to Yerosai, it happens to be, that the Rambam says over here something very interesting. The Rambam says, quotes this case. He says, Ben Bavel Shanasi Isha Baritz Yisrael V'dayit Olach Shavich Nisalo Ishto Avadim Ushvachos Hari Elu Safek Im Heim Kimi Shemachra Osum L'chutz L'aretz Hov Yishlo Peros. So actually the Rambam codifies this halacha, and the Rambam says, It's a Safek. That's how he leaves it. Okay. Anyway, let's go back there. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Avo. Shalom to Rabbi Yochan. Rabbi Yochan taught me the following halacha. Eved, Shiyatza Acha Rabba L'Sir. So we'll say, this is an interesting case. Right? You have Reuven. Reuven owns an Eved Kenani. Fine. Right? Reuven lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's Zochet to live in Eretz Yisrael with his Eved Kenani. So let's say, so what happens? Now, Reuven goes out to Surya. Now, I'll say, remember again, we've spoken about Surya a number of times. What is Surya? Surya was the area conquered by David HaMelech, right? So, but it was Kibush Yachid. It wasn't the Melchamas Mitzvah. It was a Kibush Yachid, an individual conquest of David HaMelech. So, I'll say, in general, there's a discussion when it comes to Surya. Is it like Eretz Yisrael? Not like Eretz Yisrael? That is a fundamental machlokes. For Avadim purposes, it's Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so now watch this. So Reuven, the master, goes out to Surya. They will say, what happens? Eved shetz acharav l'Surya. The Eved follows. They will say, to be clear, right? The master did not bring him. The Eved followed on his own. You know what happens if you don't close the door after those Zavadim, right? They just get out. Right? So the Eved follows. The Eved followed the master on his own. So they will say, so what happened? Umachro sham. And then the master sold the Eved in Surya. So the Gemara says, Umachar Sham Rabo, Yatza L'Cheiros. Ultimately, the slave goes free. Okay, so we'll say, Vahat Tani, Rabbi Chiya, Ibeir Esichuso. But one second. But Rabbi Chiya said, no, this case is different. Why is this case different? Because the slave came out on his own. Or so we'll say, this is not just, remember again, what's the typical case? The typical case is, the master is the one actively removing the slave from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. That's when the Mishnah says the Knas, your Eved goes free. This case is different. The Eved is coming of his own volition. So Rabbi Chiya says, if the Eved comes of his own volition, even though, yes, the master ultimately sells him, because the slave left of his own volition, he lost the right, so to speak, to go free, the emancipatory right to go free, or the emancipatory right upon being sold. So the Gemara says, it's a contradiction. So we just said before that if the master sells the Eved in Surya, ultimately the Eved goes free. Rabbi Chiya says he doesn't go free. Lo kasha, kansha das rabo lachzor, kansha in das rabo lachzor. Very interesting. We'll say first one line at the bottom. What does it depend on? It depends on whether or not the intention was for the master to go back to Eretz Yisrael afterwards. If the intent for the master to go back to Eretz Yisrael, then ultimately again the Eved doesn't go free. If the intent for the master wasn't to go back to Eretz Yisrael, then the Eved does go free. To which the Gemara says, "Va'tanya." But we learned Yotzia Eved Achar Rabba L'Surya. But we learned, it's actually interesting, the Brisa seems to say, that an Eved could follow his master out to Surya. Second white line, I will say, Yotze, Lo Sagi De Lo Nofik. So what's that? He could go out? He can go out? Is he obligated to follow? Va'tanan, we learned. Ve'in ha'komosien. We'll say, we learned that in general, that Aloha L'Maisa, you cannot force family members or household members to leave Eretz Yisrael. To leave Eretz Yisrael, you can't do that. So what's going on over here? Ela yotza ha'eved acha rabo l'soya machro sham. So what's rather what it means is like this. If the master, right, Reuven, departed from Eretz Yisrael to Surya, and the Eved followed of his own volition, Umachro Rabo Sham, and ultimately again the master then ended up selling the servant in Soria. Imdas Rabo Lachzar, if it is the intention of the master to go ahead and go back to Eretz Yisrael, Kofin Oso, we force him. Now we'll say, who's the him in this case? The him is the purchaser. We force the purchaser to emancipate the Eved. We first the force so that the Eved could go back with the master to Eretz Yisrael. Vim in das Rabo Lachzar, but if the master's intention is not to go back to Eretz Yisrael, in Kofin Oso, we do not force the purchaser to emancipate the Eved. So we'll say, do you hear how interesting this is? So this is a different kind of case. So let's just review what's happening over here. Reuven, master, lives in Eretz Yisrael. He goes out to Surya. What's the status of Surya? Status of Surya? So the real answer, what is the status of Surya? Machlokes. For Eved purposes, status of Surya? Chutz La'aretz. So it says, now what happens? Eved follows master of his own volition. Right? Master is not bringing him. He follows him to Surya. So again, master says, now once what does master do? Master sells servant in Surya. So what's the halacha? So now the Gemara says it depends. What does it depend on? Is the master going back to Eretz Yisrael? If the master is going back to Eretz Yisrael, we force the purchaser to emancipate the Eved. We force the purchaser to emancipate the Eved. If the master is not going back to Eretz Yisrael, we do not force the second master, Shimon, to emancipate the Eved. We'll say, why do we force the master to emancipate the Eved? That seems to be a penalty on the Eved, ultimately because he came out to Chutz La'aretz of his own volition. Fascinating. So Rav Hanan says, Shamas mina demar Shmuel tarti. The truth is, we learn from Shmuel two halachas. Chadahach, so we'll say one is halacha that we just mentioned, about the Eved following the master to Surya. The Edoch, the other one, we'll say, listen to this. The Itmar, Hamocher Sadeh Bishna Sayova Atzma. So we'll say, this is very interesting. What is the halacha if one sells their land during the Yovel year itself? Now, listen, remember again, what happens with property during Yovel? What is the property? Everything goes back to its original owners. So what happens if one actually sells real estate, God bless you, on Yovel? So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Mukhura V'yotza. Rav says, it works. In other words, the transaction works, and then right after you sell it, what happens? It returns to you, the owner. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Eina Mukhura Kol Iker. Shmuel says, no, there's no sale. He'll say, in other words, there are no real estate sales during the Shemitah year. Because Shemitah is the reset. Yovel, thank you. Yovel is the reset. Therefore, any real estate transaction you engage in, by definition, I'll use the word, it's voided. It just never happens. Ina mechura kol ikar. So the Gemara says, so I'll say, if you take a look, like a Rashi, v'yotza lebailim miyad v'zeh hefsid ma'osav. So we'll say, there's a very important detail over here. It's a very important detail that according to Rav, that the sale works. Rav will say, what happens right after the sale works? What happens after the sale works? Ultimately, again, the property goes back to its original owners. Rav will say, what doesn't go back? The purchase price. So interestingly enough, according to Rav, what would happen is like this. If on a Yovel year, Reuven sells his field to Shimon. So again, the purchase works, right? The purchase works. So Shimon paid the money to Reuven. Now again, Yovel kicks in, returns the field back to Reuven. But Reuven need not return any money. On the other hand, Shmuel holds, Eina Mechura Kol Iker, look at Rashi. He's a Mekav V'chomer. Uma Mechura Kvar Yotze Achshav She'ina Mechura Eino Din Shalom B'Timkar. They come up and say, fine. Shmuel says, there's no sale. Now watch this, the Gemara says, Bechada hadri zvini, ubechada lo hadri zvini. So now listen to this. So now Rav Hanan said, I know that in one of these cases, according to Shmuel, the money goes back, and in one of these cases, ultimately, the money is not returned. But I don't remember which case. So therefore, what we have over here is Shmuel in two cases. Case number one was by the Eved Kenani. Remember, again, master goes out to Surya, Eved follows. Master sells Eved in Surya. So what's Talacha? If master is going back, we force the purchaser to go ahead and emancipate the Eved. Master's not going back, we don't force the master to do that. Now what's the Shaila in that case? The Shaila in that case is, what happens to the money? Let's say the master is going back. So now we're going to force purchaser, Shimon, to emancipate the Eved. What happens to the money, right? Shimon paid for that Eved. What happens to that money that was paid? That's one. Case number two, Shmuel said, if you sell a field during Yovel, Ultimately, again, the sale does not work. Okay? What happens to the money? So Rav Hanan said, in one case, Shmuel said, the money goes back to its original owner. The second case, that the money doesn't go back. Rav Hanan says, only the small problem, I don't remember which case is which. Which case is which? To which the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yosef, let's analyze this. We learned in the Braisa that if one sells his Eved to Chutz Laretz, the Eved goes free. Vitzarech get shichrer me rabo sheni. And he requires a get shichrer document of emancipation from the second master. Rabbi said, the fact that you need a get shichrer from the second master, what does that tell you? Shmamina kanye rabo. Kanye rabo sheni. Rabbi said, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, the second master does in fact acquire the Eved for lo hadar zvini, but the purchase price need not be returned. V'chiyam Mashmuel Hassam, Mashmuel said by the Yovel case, Eina Mechura Umaos Chozrin. Shmuel said, Rabbi said that in the Yovel case, the transaction is void and the money goes back. Said Rabbi said, the Gemara suggesting over here is as follows. In the Eved Kanan case, even upon emancipation, ultimately again the purchaser lost out on his money. He's going to have to emancipate the Eved, but he does not get his money back. In the Yovel case, the Gemara is suggesting, when you sell a field during Yovel, the transaction itself is void. There's no transaction. So you're both like, you see the difference? Sometimes in Halacha, you can have like this. You can have a situation where the transaction is valid, but you're penalized for having engaged in it. So what will we do? We'll make you reverse the transaction afterwards. But the transaction, we're supposed to say, that's the keys. When you sell an Eved to Chutz Laretz, Rabbi said, does it work to sell an Eved from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz? Does it work? Does it work? Yeah. Absolutely. Just once you did it, we throw the book at you, and you now have to emancipate that Eved. But the transaction worked. Because the transaction worked, you lost your money. You did something you shouldn't have done. You lost your money. You have to free the Eved, and you, purchaser, lost your money. In the Yovel case, Rabbi said, the Gemara is suggesting, the transaction doesn't work. The transaction doesn't work. If Yovel goes ahead and resets property ownership to try to sell property, simply doesn't work. And if you did it, again, the transaction is void. If the transaction is void, then what? You get your money back. You get your money back. Incredible. The Chinuch Shulhasam, Eina Mechura Umaos Chosven, was the top of Meme, for Ravanan, Braisa Lo Shmili. Ravanan never heard this Braisa. He never heard this Braisa. That's why he was unclear which case was which. V'imi de Shmuel, Mimai Deina Mechura Umaos Chosven. So we'll say, ultimately, again, I don't understand. The case of Shmuel, how do you know that Eina Mechura, how do you know that in the case of Yovel, Eina Mechura means the transaction is void and the money goes back to the purchaser? Maybe Dilma, Eina Mechura, Umaos Matana. Oh, maybe Rabbi said Eina Mechura means if you try to sell a field during Yovel, the transaction doesn't work, right? And if you do so, ultimately again the money becomes a matana. This is Gemara gives a good example of this. Midi dehu dehava amekadesh es achoso. Rabbi said, interesting case. What happens if a man is mekadesh his sister? He gives his sister kesef kiddushin hari at nekudesh asli. The $1 million zoo, right? He gives $1 million. This is your kesef kiddushin. Shabbos said the itmar. The Gemara says hamekadesh es achoso. What happens if one is mekadesh his sister? Rav amar maos chozrin. Rav says the money goes back. Ushmuel amar maos matana. Shmuel says ultimately again the money is a matana. Shabbos say so. The Gemara says I don't understand how you know that when Shmuel says that the transaction by Yovel doesn't work, that means that the money returns. Maybe the money goes as a gift. Maybe the money goes as a gift. The Gemara is right. Rabbi say, now the truth is, the Yishonim bring down, the cases are really dissimilar. So Rabbi say, you can make the cogent argument that one doesn't know the halachos of Yovel. And therefore, one maybe thinks that even though land returns, maybe they thought that they could go ahead and sell property. Right? And that's why you can say, again, the transaction is void. In the case of a sister, Rabbi say, everyone knows, you can't marry your sister. So I will say, because everyone knows you can't marry your sister, but Pashtos, when Reuven gives Rachel, his sister, the money, the only way to explain it is, what is he doing? He's affecting a matana. Okay, because therefore I will say, it turns out that we have two different cases. In the case of Yovel, Shmuel says that Aloha Maisi, if you try to sell property during the Yovel year, the transaction is void, money is returned back to the purchaser. In the case of Eved Kenani, if you sell an Eved Kenani to Chutz La'aretz, ultimately will force the second master to emancipate the Eved, and it appears that the purchaser loses his money. So we'll say fascinating. So not only does master number two, purchaser, have to go out and emancipate the Eved, he lost his money. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. I'm really by the Rav Yosef. So we'll say first, why line them here, Madalef? Great Gemara. My chaz is the kansina lelokeach, niknesei lemochar. They'll say, so this seems to be unfair, right? Let's play this out. Based on what we've just learned about, say, let's play this out. Reuven lives in Eretz Yisrael. He owns an Eved Kenani. Reuven now sells his Eved Kenani to Shimon in Chutz Laaretz. Okay? What's the halacha? Right? We tell Shimon. What do we tell him? Emancipate the Eved. And now that Rabbi say, who gets to keep the money? Reuven. It's very interesting. So why are we penalizing the purchaser? In other words, we're both saying, isn't the real prohibition on Reuven? In other words, if you think about it, Reuven comes out of this just fine, right? Because he sold his Eved, he got money, he gets to keep the money. Meanwhile, Shimon, who purchased the Eved, has to emancipate the Eved and also doesn't get his money back. So asks the Gemara, why are we penalizing the purchaser? Why not penalize the seller? The buzz is a great line. Amalei. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, Lav ach peraganov elachoraganov. It's not the mouse who's the thief, but rather it's the hole who's the thief. Meaning what Rav Yosef said, so when a mouse steals food, right, or something, so again, if the mouse only steals if he has somewhere to place the stolen item. So in essence, in other words, Rav Yosef said, an illegal transaction could only occur if there is a purchaser. Right? If there's no purchaser, then ultimately the seller is not going to do anything illegal. So it's essentially what the Gemara is saying is it's the purchaser who enables the illegal transaction to occur. Therefore, the penalty rests on him. Amar Lehi said back, come on. Ilav achbara chora minale. And if there's no mouse, then a hole doesn't pose any type of danger. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Mistabra hecha di'ika isura hasam kansinan. The Gemara says, oh, say the truth is, the penalty is levied upon the party who is in possession of the Isser. And as I will say, what we look at over here is right now, who has that Eved Kenani? Who has him? So the penalty ultimately, again, is going to go on whoever is in possession of, so to speak, the contraband item. What's the contraband item over here? An Eved Kenani who is sold to Chutzar. So because it's the purchaser, therefore, ultimately, again, the penalty is visited upon him. So Moshe, this is fascinating. So therefore, Aloch Lamaisa, when you sell your Eved to Chutz La'aretz, it is the purchaser, really, who gets slammed with the penalty. He's going to have to emancipate the Eved, and he doesn't get his money back either. Pretty incredible. Let's go weiter. We'll say some good stories over here. Ha'u avda da'arak michutz la'aretz la'aretz. We'll say there was an Eved. We'll say, now, this is the opposite case. The Eved Kenani runs away from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Azal Marei Abasrei. So his master came looking for him. Aslak made Rebbe, Rebbe Ami. The master came before Rebbe Ami. He wanted his slave back. Amrle, Nichtov l'chashtara adame, because of legita dechirusa. Rebbe Ami says to the master, here's the deal. We're going to write you a document for his value. In other words, they both say, in other words, what we're going to do is like this. Let me reverse it. Right? We're going to write for you a document on that. In other words, the Eved is going to owe you his value, and you are going to write the Eved ishtar shichur. Rabbi Ami was commanding the Adon to emancipate his Eved, but the Adon should not have to bear a loss. Therefore, again, the newly emancipated Eved, I will say, remember again, what does a newly emancipated Eved become? What does he become? He becomes a full-fledged Jew. Now this full-fledged Jew is going to owe you his value. So therefore, again, you won't lose money. You'll still be owed the value of the Eved, but you must emancipate the Eved. V'ilo, and if you don't do this, mafkana leminach, I'm just going to extract the Eved from you and force you to write the document of emancipation anyway. So you have a choice. Either write the document willingly and get the value of the Eved, or we'll force you to emancipate. So we'll say, what is this based on? Midrabi achi b'rabi Yoshia. This is midrabi achi b'rabi Yoshia. What does Rabbi Yoshia say? Disanyo. Lo Yeshu ba'artzecha, Penyachtiu os chalis. Rabbi said, this is talking about, again, the Zayin Umos. When a Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says, do not allow the indigenous nations to dwell there, lest they cause you to sin ultimately again through their idolatry. So Yachal Ba'avikucham Shekiba Lav Sholav Arav Olas Kal Kasav and Daber. You might have thought this is talking about an idolater who has sworn off idolatry. Right? What if you have Shabbos, which we call an idolater or sworn off idolatry? We call that a ger toshav, right? You might have thought that this even includes a ger toshav, that he can't live in your land. Talmud lomar, lo saskir eved el adonav ashe notzal elecha mi'im adonav. So let's listen to this. Yet the pasuk says that if an eved runs to you, right? Rabbi say this, so if an eved runs away from chutz laretz to Eretz Yisrael, don't return him to his master. Allow him to reside with you. Allow him to reside with you. Then I will say, now here's what's interesting. In other words, why not? Because the assumption is that anyone who lives in Chutz Laaretz is as if they're worshipping idolatry, a very, very strong gemara that we've seen before. So therefore, again, allow the Eved to reside with you in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So my takanaso, imcha yeshe bekirbecha, ultimately, again, allow him to reside with you. So v'kashe Rabbi Yoshia, hi me'im adonav, me'im aviv mi'bayileh. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Yoshia, the pasuk shouldn't say me'im adonav, it should say me'im aviv, because according to Rabbi Yoshia, it's really ultimately a reference not just to master, but to his idolatry as well. Ela am Rabbi Yoshia, b'mocher avdo l'chutzal la'aretz ha'kosav medaber. Pasuk is actually talking about one who sells his avid to chutz la'aretz. V'kashe Rabbi Yache Rabbi Yoshia, hi ashe nutzal elecha, ashe nutzal me'imach mi'bayileh. It shouldn't say that he seeks refuge with you, but rather it seeks refuge from amongst you, it should say. Ela amra v'achar v'yoshia, be'evet shebarach mi'chutz laretz li'eretz ha'kasu medaber. So we'll say again, rather the Gemara reinterprets the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about an eved who runs away from chutz laretz to Eretz Yisrael. Shabbos said, that's the point over here. The pasuk is saying over here that when an eved runs away from chutz laretz to Eretz Yisrael, do not return him to his master. Allow him to reside with you. So therefore, again, when this Eved ran away and the master shows up in Beis Din wanting to take the Eved back, Rabbi Acher B'Yoshia says, here's the deal. You're writing a get shechar. If you do it willingly, we'll give you a document of indebtedness, an IOU that the Eved himself owes you for his value. If not, we're just going to emancipate him anyway based on this pasuk. Incredible. Tan yidach another braisa. Lo saskir Eved el adonov. So we'll say the pasuk says, do not go ahead and return an Eved to his master. Rabbi Omer Belokeach Avdu Amanas L'Shachra Kasam Medaber. Rabbi says it's talking about one who purchases an Eved ultimately on the condition to emancipate him. Hechi Dami, what's the case? Amrav Nachem Rai Yitzchok to Kasav Lehachi. He writes to the following. L'kishe Ekechacho Hari Atzmucha Kanei Lecha Me'achshav. Once I purchase you, you are emancipated as of now. Rav Chista, so we'll say it's a different interpretation of the pasuk. Rav Chista arekle avdal beikusai. So we'll listen to this. Rav Chista had a servant, like Eved Kenani, and his Eved Kenani ran away to beikusai. Now we'll say whether or not beikusai is actually like the name of a place or descriptive, meaning to a house where kusim lived. Okay, point is Eved ran away. Shalach lehu. So Rav Chista sent a message to the place where the Eved was hiding. Hadron Ahili, send it back to me. Send my Eved back. Shochulei. Lo saskir eved al adonav. Pasuk says, "Don't return a master. Don't return a slave to his master." Shalach lehu v'chein sasa lechamora v'chein sasa lesimlosa v'chein sasa lechol aveidas achicha. So ultimately, again, Rav Chista says, "There's a mitzvah of hashavas aveidah. When your friend loses an object, return lost object. I lost my eved. Return it to me." So I v'haksiv lo saskir eved al adonav. Ultimately, again, they sent back to him, don't return a slave. Shalach lehu hahu be'eved shebarach mechutz laretz la'aretz. So ultimately, we'll say that's talking about, so Rav Chista sent back to them, that's talking about a slave that ran away from Eretz chutz laretz to Eretz Yisrael. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. My slave's in Eretz Yisrael. L'chidra achi Rabbi Yoshia. O'mayishna d'shach lehu k'rabi achi Yoshia. Mishum d'mashu l'kray. We'll say, why did Rav Chista say the pasuk like Rabbi Yoshia, because that drasha seems to be a bit more implicit than the psukim themselves. Therefore, Rabbi Yosei, point of view, Rav Chista was saying, don't use that pasuk on me. That's only talking about a case where the eved runs away from chutz laretz to Eretz Yisrael. We're talking over an Eretz Yisrael case. Next, Abai Irkas Lechamra. Rabbi Yosei, great case. Abai lost a donkey, Beikosai. Once again, I will say, in the place of the kusim, shalach lehu. So they sent. So shalchu shalach lehu shadruli. So Rabbi said, listen, send back my donkey. My donkey got lost by you. So the Gemara says, shalach shalchu lei shalach simna. So they said to Rabbi, no problem. We're sending you the donkey. Give us a simen. Give us a simen. Okay. Shalach lehu dechivra krisei. So Rabbi sent back to them, the belly of the donkey is white. Send it back to me. Shalach lehu, ilav denachmani ad lo haba meshadran alech nehile. So I'll say, so listen to this. They said back to him, were you not Nachmani? But remember again, Abai is known as Nachmani, because ultimately, again, he was raised. He was raised ultimately again, the home of Nachman. So he says, were it not that you were Nachmani, lo haba meshadran nehilach, atu kule chamra lav kresich yuv chivrin ninu. Let's say, all donkey, everyone knows, all donkeys have white stomachs. So therefore, again, that's not really a simen. Were it not for the fact that you are Abaye, right, and a great Talmud Chacham, and therefore we believe you, therefore we would not go ahead and simply rely on this simen. Okay, but say, a lot to say on this story in terms of, if they were going to send it back to him without a simen anyway, why did they ask for the simen to begin with? Okay, so there's a lot to speak about on that, but let's go back there. I will say, now we come to a dramatically amazing Mishnah. We do not redeem captives for more than their value. Jewish captives. You do not redeem captives more than their value for the benefit of society. And we do not help captives escape ultimately, again, because of the benefit of society. Not out of a benefit to society, but out of a benefit to captives. So Rabbi said, this is a very dramatic Gemara. So Rabbi Lehu, Hai mipnei tikkun olam. So Rabbi said, what does this mean? So Rabbi said, this was just, lest you think that this is not like a significant shayla. We'll talk about it in just a moment. But the Gemara says, what does it mean mipnei tikkun olam? So we have a Jewish captive. We have a Jewish captive, right? The value of a Jewish life is immeasurable. So now Rabbi said, the Gemara says, there's a cap. There's a cap on how much you should spend to redeem a Jewish captive. Why? Mipnei tikkunol, for the benefit of society. What does it mean, the benefit of society? So the Gemara says, Mishum duchka ditziburuhu. Rabbi say, is it because we are concerned with impoverishing the community? Or Rabbi say, there's a finite amount of resources in the Jewish community, and therefore, again, you have to put a cap on how much you redeem Jewish captives for, because of duchka ditzibur. Rashi says, Ein lanu litchok atzibur, ulavi lide anios. You can't impoverish the community ultimately again because of a captive. Oh, Dilma, Mishum Dolagarvu Velai Suter. Maybe not. Maybe I will say it's because we don't want to incentivize kidnappings. In other words, if people know the Jewish community will pay any price for kidnapped Jews, then ultimately again you'll incentivize kidnappings. So I will say, by the way, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina will be, if you have someone who is independently wealthy, right? Let's say again, Reuven's relative is taken captive. Reuven is independently wealthy. Reuven has more money than he knows what to do with. So now his relative is taken captive. They are demanding an exorbitant amount of money. If it's about impoverishing the tzibor, Reuven is like, I'm doing this myself. I'm not asking anyone for any help. If it's about incentivizing kidnappings, then what? It's still a problem. So we're also listening to this. Tashma, the Levi bar Darga, Parka Labarte, Betleser Alfe Dinarizov. Levi bar Darga, redeemed his daughter for 13,000 gold pieces. We'll say an exorbitant amount of money. So we'll say, it seems to be from there, you see from here, that if you are independently wealthy, you have the ability to go ahead and redeem a captive, even for more than their value. I will say, however, we're establishing value. So it sounds like the issue over here is impoverishing the community. Suppose this says, Amar Abaye, Uman le'malan de'ratzon chachamim avad, dilma shalom ratzon chachamim. I will say, who says Levi bar Darga did the right thing? Right? Who says he asked the Shaila? Who says he asked the Shaila? Maybe he just did what he had to do, even though, again, I will say, it was not the right thing to do. So I will say, this is an incredible, incredible Gemara. So therefore, I will say, you see over here that the Gemara itself does not go ahead and seem to indicate which one. The Rambam paskins that really it's an issue ultimately of incentivizing kidnappings. That's what I will say. Just so you should know, this was a raging dispute in Eretz Yisrael not so long ago with the Gilad Shalit prisoner swap. I will say, and there were many who were opposed. to ultimately, again, the price that was exacted from Israel when going ahead and freeing Shalit, because at the end of the day, again, they released terrorists, many of whom, a number of whom, went on to commit acts of terror afterwards. They were also negotiating, again, for the bodies of the three Israelis who were killed. This was the other piece also, that if you're negotiating, not even for live Jews, but you're even willing to pay a high price for dead Jews. So again, it's one thing if you incentivize captors keeping people alive, but now if terrorists know that they could demand whatever they want, even just for the loot. So again, I'm just pointing out what I say, but you see what a sensitive issue this is. On the other hand, the ability to go ahead and save one Jewish life, saving one life is like sustaining an entire world. So we'll say, why does the Gemara bring down this case of Levi Bar Parga? Right? But why does it bring it down? Because you see from here in this kind of case that people feel compelled to do things even if they're outside of the realm of halacha. That when it comes to redeeming someone who you love, we'll say, who do I love? I love every Jew. When it comes to the possibility of bringing any Jew home, sometimes you can have us say, sometimes it's not an intellectual decision, right? And it's not even necessarily a halachic, everything needs to be a halachic decision. But sometimes again, the emotionality of it is so profound that things are done. Maybe Levi Bar Parga, I keep saying that, Levi Bar Darga, maybe he did ask a shayla, maybe he didn't ask a shayla, but Lamaise, he got it done. Incredible, Abbas, incredible. There's a lot to say on this. I'll just point out, Tosis over here says an exception to this, what Abbas says, is one's wife, right? One is, right, right? Good, right? Everyone's a big shot when they're not on camera, right? I'm going to turn the camera around. Everyone should see the facial expressions, right? So Tosis points out over here that when it comes to one's wife, one is permitted to spend any amount of money to redeem her. Why ishto kigufo? This is actually very interesting. Let's say I'm taken captive. I happen to be independently wealthy. There's no cap on the amount of money you could spend on yourself. Right? In other words, it's my money. I can spend on myself, whatever. So the same way that there's no cap on the amount of money that I could spend on my own redemption, there's also no cap on the amount of money that I could spend ultimately, again, on the redemption of one's spouse. Tosis also brings down Tamidi Chachamim, maybe different, or also, so there is the famous Maisa of the Maharam of Rotenberg. Maharam of Rotenberg, who was taken captive, ultimately, again, and he was ready to be redeemed. The communities got together to redeem him. He forbade them from redeeming him, the Maharam, because he was afraid of taking of captives, right? Kidnappings, incentivizing kidnappings. In fact, again, his Talmud Rush narrowly escaped a kidnapping attempt. The Maharam ultimately died in captivity. Okay, but let's go weiter. A lot to say on this. Ein marvichin es hashvuyin. So I will say furthermore, we don't help captives escape. So mipnei tikun olam, because of the benefit of society, Rabbi Shimon Leil Omer mipnei tachron shavuyin. So I will say, my benayu, ika benayu deleka elachad. So I will say, here's the concern. So now the Mishnah says, we do not help Jewish captives escape. Why not? What are we concerned about? So I will say, so again, one says tikun olam, and one says tikun shavuyin. Now I will say, tikun olam can mean, ultimately, again, we're concerned that maybe we're going to take more captives. The other possible was says Tikun HaShvuyin means we're afraid that if we help a Jewish captive escape, that what's going to happen is going to make things much worse for the remaining Jewish captives. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be there's only one Jewish prisoner. There's only one. So if it's Tikun HaOlam, maybe it still applies. If it's Takanas HaShvuyin, there's no longer a Shavoy. Good. So we'll say story. Banseh Rav Nachman, Bachshon Kedire Bayadayu. The daughters of Rav Nachman used to stir the pot with their hands, boiling pot with their hands. So I will say, Kashile the Rav Yilish. Rav Yilish never understood how they were able to do it. Ksev Adam Echad me Elef Matzasi v'isha b'chal Eila la Matzasi. Seika Ban Seid Rav Nachman. So I will say, so now what happened? So Rav Yilish was always perplexed by this because he understood that their ability to go ahead and stir a pot, a boiling pot, with their hands must have indicated their piety. Like perfect piety, that they were just immune to everything. Yet the Pasuk in Kohelet says, you can't find a perfectly pious person. So he never understood how they were able to do this. So what happens? Gamarli Milsei, something happened. Vishtabion Vishtabai, all of them were taken captive. Right? So Ravilish was taken captive. The daughters of Rav Nachman were taken captive. So Rabbi says, so what happens? So Vishtai Ian Nami Ba'adayu. Yom Achad, Hav Yosef Gabeahu Gavra, the Havayada Belishna the Sipuri. Asa Orva, the Kakari Lay. So we'll say, what happened? One day, Ravilish is sitting in captivity, and he's speaking with another guy, a cellmate, right? He's with another cellmate. Rabbi says, this cellmate had an interesting skill. He understood the language of the birds. Language of the birds. So one day, a raven comes by, and what happens? The raven starts calling out. Amar Lei, my comer. So Ravilish says to his cellmate, what is the raven saying? Amar Lei, Ilish Brach, Ilish Brach. Ilish, run away. Run away. Right? You can get out of here, run away. So Ravilish said, Amar Urva Shikrahu, Shikrahu, Velo Samichnale. Ultimately, raven's lying, and I'm not relying on the raven. Okay. Adahachi Asa Yon the Kakari. So I say, meanwhile, what happened? A dove came. Amrali, my commerce. So we'll say the dove starts, what is the dove? Squawking? I don't know, whatever. Chirping. Right? So Rav Ilish says to his cellmate, what's going on over here? Amrali, Ilish Brach. The dove is saying, Ilish, run away. Amrali, Knesset Yisrael Kiyona Misla, Shmamina Misrachesh Linisa. Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove. So the fact that the dove is telling me to run away, obviously I'm going to run away. Amrali, Ezel Achse Banse Drav Nachman. So what happened? So Ravilish said, okay, but the daughters of Rav Nachman are also in captivity. If they have remained true to Yiddishkeit, then I will go ahead and redeem them as well. Right? I'll take them with me when I run away. So how's Ravilish going to figure this out? Listen to this. Amar, Nashi Komili de Isle Sidron Adadi Bebeis HaKise. So women, they talk about everything in the bathroom. Right, talk about everything in the bathroom. So I'll go ahead, I'll see what's going on in the bathroom. I'll eavesdrop in the bathroom, and I'll hear what's going on over here. So the Gemara says, okay, Sham inu dika amran. So he overhears them in the bathroom saying, so adi guvern venardoi guvern. These men are captors, are our husbands, and our husbands from Nardo are our husbands. Leimaluhu l'shuvayu l'rechakinu mehacha, t'lo leisu inshin v'leshami v'leparkun. Let's tell our captor husbands to take us to a faraway place so that our Nardon husbands, our Jewish husbands, will no longer be able to find us. So unfortunately, what had clearly occurred over here is that the daughters of Rav Nachman had become wives to their captors, and willingly had become wives to their captors to the point that they wanted nothing to do with their previous lives. So come Arak Asa'iu, so Ravilish ran away on his own. What happens? They will say, "Vahu gavra l'didei yisrachesh le'nisa." So Gemara says. Furthermore, I'm sorry. So come arak asaihu vahu gavra. So I say. So what happens? Rav Ilish ran away, and he told his cellmate, "You know what?" So he left behind the doors of Rav Nachman. Right? He says to his cellmate, "Come with me." So l'didei yisrachesh le'nisa aver b'mavra. So I say. So Rav Ilish had a miracle. He was able to escape, cross the bridge. Vahu gavra ashkechua v'katluha. His cellmate, unfortunately, again, did not make it to safety. Ultimately, again, did not make it to safety and was killed. Kihadron va'asan amarluhu kabachshan kidra bikshafim. Ultimately, so when Ravilish came back, he realized the ability of Rav Nachman's daughters, ultimately, again, to stir the pot was not because of any type of piety, but rather must have been because of some type of kishuf, some type of sorcery. Okay, so I'll say a very interesting story on a variety of different levels. I'll say what it also means is that sometimes when you see a perfect picture of piety, it's not a perfect picture of piety. I'll say there is no such thing as perfect piety in this world. And this is incredibly important to understand. The only perfection that resides in this world, or not fully resides, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hatzur Tamim Palo, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. There is no such thing as perfect piety in the realm of humanity. And this is incredibly important to understand. This is why we avoid deification even of the greatest of tzaddikim. No human being is perfect. And ultimately, again, the more we acknowledge that, the more we recognize that, first of all, then great people indeed become role models for us. And so we avoid the trap of ultimately putting certain people on pedestals when we really should not be doing so. There is no such thing as perfection in this world. Incredible. Incredible. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, there's so much to say in each of these stories, but this is one big daf. Okay, the Gemara's Mishnah says as follows. Ein lochin svarim talon mezuzos bina ovdi kochav miyasrach kadei demeyan. We'll say, ultimately, again, you cannot purchase Sifrei Torah, Svarim Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and mezuzos from Oved Kochavim more than their value. Rabbi will say, now why not? I'm a base mipnei tikkun for the benefit of society. Rabbi will say, now what's the tikkun olam over here? So we'll say, bepashos, the tikkun olam is that we're afraid that once again you are going to create a market for stolen Judaica. Right? If the Akum knows that I'm willing to pay any price to get back my Sifrei Torah, Tefillin and mezuzos from him, then unfortunately, again, it could go ahead and incentivize theft of Judaica. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Budja. Rashi says over here, Tap Rashi Memhema Deis, Mevnei Tikkun Olam, Imishum Duchka Ditzibura, Imishum Dole Garva Valaisu Tvei. So it could be either because you're going to impoverish the community or because you're going to incentivize theft of Judaica. Amalei Rav Budja Rav Ashi. Yes, you can't pay more than the value. Habichdei demein lochin. But I will say, for the actual value, you can go ahead and purchase it. I will say, this is a very, very important distinction. The Mishnah is only saying you can't overpay for Judaica. But if, let's say, the Akum is selling it, and he's selling it for the actual price, for the normal price, that you're allowed to purchase. Shmamina, what do you see from here? Sefer Torah Shlim Sivyat Ovi Kochavim Korinbo. We'll say that if you find the Sefer Torah in the hands of an Ovi Kochavim, you could use it. The Rishonim will say, the fact that the Gemara is saying that if they're charging normal prices, you can buy it back, sounds like I could buy it back in what? And use it. Tushar, maybe not. Dilma Lignos. Maybe means you could buy it back, but you still can't use it. Now, saying, now, why can't you use it? Remember, you don't know who wrote this. Right? You don't know where it came from. So the Maisim, maybe it just means you're allowed to buy it back from the Akum, but you can't actually use it. Rather, you have to go ahead and bury it. Om Rav Nachman, Nakhtino, we learned. Sefer Torah, Shekasivu Min Yisareif. Well, Sefer Torah is written by a Min. I will say, what's a Min? Rashi says over here, Min Ha'aduk Bo'avodos Kocham Kigon Komer. So we'll say a min is someone who is very attached to his idolatry, like a priest. So that's what we'll say. So a min is someone who, you know, not just like episodically or recreationally worships Avodah Zarah, but like he's in, right? It's fully embedded in his idolatrous practice. So if a Sefer Torah is written by a min, you burn it. Kasu Oyed Kochavim, if it's written by an Akum, Now we'll say, what's an Akum? So again, an Akum is someone who worships idolatry, but it's not as embedded in the idolatry. What do you do with that? Yiganes. Ultimately, you store it away, right? You bury it. Nimsa biyad min yiganes. So I'll say, ultimately, again, so remember, case number one, where it was written by a min. If it's written by a min, you burn it. If it's written by an Obed Kochavim, you bury it. What if it's just found in the hands of a min? Or is, I don't know if the min wrote it or not. He just happens to be in possession of it. So nimsa biyad min yiganes. Then it's stored away. Nimsa biyad ovei kochavim. If you find the Torah in the hands of an ovei kochavim, amar lo yiganes. Rabbi Kornbo. Some say you have to bury it. Some say you can read it. Sefer Torah shekasa ovei kochavim. If a Sefer Torah is written by an ovei kochavim, tani chadi yisariv. One opinion says burn it. V'tanya idach yiganes. One opinion says bury it. V'tanya idach Kornbo. Wow. Third opinion says you could use it. So we'll say, this is the case we're focusing on over here. A Sefer Torah written by an Akum. So three different opinions as to what you do with it. One opinion says burn it. One opinion says bury it. One opinion says you could use it. So look, Hashia, Hadisani, so I have the opinion that says you have to burn it. Rabbi Eliezer, he the Amar, Stam Machsheves Ovid Kochavim, La'avodos Kochavim. So we'll say, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that Allah HaLamaisa, when an Ovid Kochavim does something, when an Ovid Kochavim does something, the assumption is that he is doing it for his idolatry. And therefore, when he wrote this Sefer Torah, who is he writing the Sefer Torah for? Not for the Ribon Shalom, right? Chas Shalom, for his idolatry. For his idolatry. But we learned. Another opinion says, you store it away. you store it away. So the Gemara says, "Haytano the Tana Rabbi Amnuna de Rava mi Pashrunya Sefer Torah Tfilin Mizush Kasvan Min Umasav Omid Kochavim VeEved VeIsha VeKatan VeKusi VeIsham Mumar Psulin." There was a, if you have a Sefer Torah or Tfilin or Mizuzah, that are written by any of these individuals, a Min, a Masra, what's a Masra? Someone who hands over Jews to the government. Omid Kochavim Eved Isha Katan Kusi Yisrael Mumar. Is pasul shneimar ukshartem uksaftem. So I'll say because the pasuk juxtaposes the mitzvah of tefillin ultimately again to the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah. Kol sheyeshna b'kshira yeshna b'ksiva. Whoever is obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin is obligated in the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah. V'chol she'eino b'kshira. Whoever is not obligated in tefillin eino b'ksiva. Ultimately again is not included in the mitzvah of writing. I v'hadis. So I'll say. So that's the opinion that says. Ultimately, again, you have to bury it. So we'll say it's the first opinion that says, yeah, so remember, Sefer Torah written by an Akum. Opinion number one, burn it. Opinion number two, bury it. What about opinion number three? V'had sanya korinbo. What about the opinion that says you could use it? Very interesting. So hi Tana. This is the following Tana. The sanya, lochin svarim mina ove kocham mikomakom. Incredible. It will say you can go ahead and purchase svarim, Sefer Torah, from an Akum. Where's it there from an Akum? Obilvad Shihuk Suvin Kil Chasan. As long as what? As long as they're written appropriately. Wow. You could buy Sefer Torah from an Akum as long as they are written appropriately. There was a story in particular of Ovikochavim Tzidon, Shaya Kosev Svarim. He used to write Sefer Torah. Vehidar Shigumil allowed Jews to purchase from him. Incredible, I'll say. Absolutely incredible. To which the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Leil ibud l'shman bay ksilish lo bay. Reb Shimon Leil allowed that. Reb Shimon Leil even requires that the parchment be tanned for the shma, for the sake of Sefer Torah. And Reb Shimon Leil holds that the parchment has to be tanned for the sake of Sefer Torah. So truly, the writing has to be done for the sake of Sefer Torah. This sanya sipan zav. We'll say ultimately again, if you went ahead and you coated your tefillin in gold, or you covered it with the hide of a non-kosher animal, psulos, ultimately it's pasul, or behemoth tahoros ksheiros. If you covered it with the hide of a kosher animal, it's kosher. The afapi shalo ibdan lishman. Even though what we'll say, even though you did not tan the hide lishma, Rav Shimon Leil says afilu or behemoth tahoros psulos. Rav Shimon Leil says, no. It will say, even to use the hide of a kosher animal can only be done if it's tanned l'shma. So I will say, if Rav Shimon Leil needs the tanning of the hide to be done l'shma, he certainly needs what? The writing to be done l'shma. If it needs the writing to be done l'shma, how could he allow you to use a Sefer Torah written by an Akum? Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, no, what's the case? Beger Shechazra L'suro. We're talking about a ger. Ultimately, again, I will say who went ahead and went back to his idolatrous ways. Look at Rashi. Beger shechaz l'suro ra vahu ditzidon ger haya hava v'chaz l'suro v'yadua debari l'shman. So let's listen to this. So when do we allow a Sefer Torah written by an Akum? I will say, what's the case of Akum? The case is where you had a ger, a person who converted, and then I will say, Rechman al-Islam, he went back to his original idolatrous ways. So I will say, so what's the chap with this guy? He knows what to do. And therefore we could trust him, interestingly enough, that when he writes a Sefer Torah, he's writing it l'shma. Wow. So the Gemara says, l'suro, kol shekein d'havelei min. If he goes back, ultimately, again, I will say, to his original idolatrous ways, he's a min. And everyone agrees that a Sefer Torah written by a min has to be destroyed. Amar Ravashi, Shechazo l'suro mishum yira. I will say, he went back, no, this is talking about a ger, who went back to his original idolatry, I will say, not because of religious convictions, but why? Out of fear. So I will say, so this is pretty amazing. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, I will say, so you can have a case of a Sefer Torah written by a ger. So I will say, here's the case, right? Reuven converted, then went back to his idolatrous ways. Why did he go back to his idolatrous ways? Out of fear. But right now, he is a full-fledged practicing idolater. He writes a Sefer Torah. Rav Shimon Leil says, the Sefer Torah is kosher and can be used. Why? because this guy knows what to do. He knows that when he writes the Sefer, if it needs to be kosher, what does he have to do? He has to write it l'shma. We are confident that he's writing it l'shma in the right way. I will say, what's incredible about this? I will say, but he's an idolater. He's an idolater. I will say, we are so confident in the Jew that even the Jew who turns idolater could find the ability to do the right thing just for a given amount of time. I will say, that is the power of the Jew, that even the Jew turned idolater. He knows that if this Sefer Torah needs to be kosher, needs to write it l'shma for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are confident in his ability to do so. But he's an idolater. I will say, even idolaters could have moments of spiritual clarity. Even idolaters, ultimately, again, could have moments of spiritual transcendence. And I will say, listen to this. If a Jew turned idolater could have moments of spiritual transcendence and spiritual clarity, then I will say, imagine what we have the ability to do. Sometimes we think that we're so ruined. We think we're so broken. We think that we're so messed up because of bad decisions that we made. I will say, if the Ger Shechazer L'suro could write a kosher Sefer Torah that could be used by the Kehillah every Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, to be Yosef their halachas. And I will say, imagine what we could do. Imagine how we could transcend our mistakes as well. Imagine how we could lift ourselves up and rehabilitate ourselves spiritually as well. And I will say, let's just finish up. Finish the Mishnah. Hayitayasa. So the Gemara says, we'll say quickly. Tanu Rabbanan. Ma'alim b'zimein ad k'dei trapik. We'll say, you are allowed to pay a little bit over market value. Right, just the traffic, a little bit over value. My traffic, or the traffic, I'm Rav Sheshes, Istira, a little bit more. Hitayasa, there was a particular Arab woman, the Aisi Chaisi, the Tila Kamei de Abaye. She brought a bag of tefillin to Abaye. She wanted to sell to Abaye. Amrlei said to her, Yehovisli Reish Tarmi. I'll give you a couple of dates for it. So Imla Emle Zihira, she got so angry. Shakla Shadasinu Benar. She took the bag of tefillin and what? She threw it into the river. Amar Abaye said, you know, I made a mistake. I should not have demeaned the value of the tefillin so much in her presence. So Abaye said, because I demeaned it, I only offered her a couple of dates. Ultimately, again, she got angry. She threw Rabbi Osei, the power of mitzvah. So much to say about this, but we are out of time. Rabbi Osei, wow, what a daf. What a daf, okay? Baruch Hashem. Shkar Chavosei. Another incredible week of learning. A good Nerev Shabbos.